According to Payless Power, the average residential electricity monthly rate for the state of Louisiana is $79.29. And I don't know about you, but that's much lower than what we pay for the electricity for the rectory that I live in. We know the consequences of power outages, what they cause in our lives. I am fortunate that as first responders, one of my predecessors installed a generator for the rectory. Now think what life was like before the invention of electricity. For thousands of years, our ancestors followed the sun, the rising of it, in their daily rhythms. Now, in this time of artificial lighting, we can easily divorce ourselves from the motion of the sun across the horizon. We can stay awake up late at night, reading a captivating novel, or watching late-night TV, only to hit the snooze button and pull our eyes tighter to block out the sunlight peeking through the blinds of our bedroom window the next morning. We mortals are govern our lives by the tick, tick, tick of the clock. We're a little partial to the motion that we're making progress. I mean, isn't all this time getting us somewhere? Or more precisely, isn't time going somewhere purposefully and significantly? Time matters to us in a way that can be quite personal. We measure our lives by the clock. For some of us, losing an hour can be a tragedy. The passage of an instant may cost us everything we have and are. We want to think time is important. Kairos time is an ancient Greek word meaning the right, critical, or opportune moment. In the New Testament, kairos means the appointed time in the purpose of God. Kairos is a seamless garment, moving in cycles and circles, but never in the clean, straight lines of chronos time, with its neatly demarcated beginning, middle, and end. The clock ticks forward, and God stands outside and impervious to time's examination of our world. Eternity doesn't tick at all. Somewhere in eternity, is there one angel ordained to keep an eye on the time? In the gospel today, Jesus gives the command, stay awake. He always made frequent references in the gospel to his hour that was always up around the next bend. St. Paul, too, was watching the clock, or perhaps the sundial. Maybe he didn't have much else to do during those years under house arrest. But a new hour captured Paul's attention, the time of Jesus' return in glory. Paul seemed as aware as Jesus had once been that the hour was waiting just up ahead. In the riches of his faith, Paul perceived that mere heartbeats separated the present hour and the glorious hour. We do not have unlimited time to spend our days in a stupor of half living. Adding to our mortality is the uncertainty of human life. We never know which day will be our last. The night is advanced, the day is at hand, and salvation is nearer than it was, and always nearer than we think. Now Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, anticipated an hour of glory, centuries before Jesus and Paul. He had no time for looking back. Isaiah was desperate to awaken his people and keep hope alive. He tells us to look forward to a utopian age when all the peoples of the world will come to God's temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Just imagine a time when all the energy and skill wasted on weapons of hate against neighboring nations could be utilized finally for feeding and serving each other instead. Imagine swords turning into farming tools, bombs exchanged for breadbaskets, armies retrained to become missionaries. Isaiah's verse in today's Old Testament reading is inscribed on an impressive bronze statue outside the United Nations headquarters in New York City. Isaiah's dream still lives. Well, Jesus translated Isaiah's message into his own genre. Remember the days of Noah? Here's a modern rendition of Matthew's eating and drinking and marrying. Things were headed to hell in a handbasket. For some, it was all about making money, luxury resorts, fast cars, and nightclubs. Others went about their business, assuming that nothing can change the way things are going. Jesus used some fantastic apocalyptic ideas about the time when God would finally bring everything to fulfillment. Advent ushers us into the challenge of believing that the world as we know it is not what God intends, and that God wills to help us do better. In this season, the church takes seriously the sacramentality of time. Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. So what is Jesus calling you to wake up to this Advent? What spiritual practices strengthen you to live in the light of Christ? Some of you may find it helpful to take home a copy of The Word Among Us. They're available as you leave church today to pray with and reflect on the daily scriptures. In the Northern Hemisphere, the season of Advent coincides with the darkest time of the year. So as we look forward to the Feast of Christmas, when we celebrate the light of God coming into the world in the mystery of the Incarnation, we might ponder, what is it that helps us stay awake? St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans today, good, clean living will help. But feel free to start with some small steps. Stop for one moment each day, regardless of how things are going, and say, I want to acknowledge this minute, this hour, and this day. Yes, Lord, I'm still awake.